Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KC, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're living the dream. have you seen that Bob Dylan movie yet, The Complete Unknown?
I have not. I'm not a big movie goer, but
I just think you'd like it. You're a singer-songwriter. Yeah. It would be perfect
for
you.
What have you been doing anyway?
Well, Dylan's probably one of my be-all end-alls, but yes. I will say that, and most Dylanologists I thought would frown upon it, but most Dylanologists, friends of mine, have told me I have to see it. So yes. I'll see it eventually.
You must see it.
But now you're on the road covering the Bulls. And tonight, big one against the Celtics. Yeah, the grid, definitely. Well played. Well played, KC. How big is this next week for Arturis Karnašovas?
I mean, it's huge because, you know, he has said publicly multiple times that they're not done making changes. He's trying to make change. He wants to make change. And this is a difficult landscape in which to make change. But this is when things get serious and opportunities that may not be present currently present themselves. And I personally see a management team ready to act. So we'll see if they can find the right match. And it's clearly a lot of pressure on him to make some changes because they're currently stuck in the middle where they have been for a long time.
I got to tell you, I don't know how to feel about the amount of pressure on AK to get something done, because in the past we've seen that he did not feel any pressure to get anything done, and he didn't want to get pressured into an Alex Caruso trade at the trade deadline or whomever it might be. Now you keep hearing these rumors about whether Vooch could wind up somehow in Golden State if Jimmy is Jimmy, we got to get to him. If Zach is somehow going to wind up in Milwaukee, that seems insane to me. But will there be something drastic that happens here? His thinking changed in terms of what he's willing to kind of do to get anything done?
Yeah, that's the part that is unknown. I mean, like, currently what you hear from the teams that I talk to around the league is that his asking price is high. And, you know, that's not a bad stance to have at this stage. But as you get closer, does he drop that price just to make a deal? I mean, I would say the critical difference to point out between this trade deadline and previous ones, from my view anyway, is that in previous deadlines, they didn't make a move because he wasn't sure he wanted to. If they don't make a move this year, it's because they just couldn't find a deal. And I'm not making excuses for the management team or the Bulls. What I will say is that particularly of contracts, and certainly in the case of LaVine and a little bit in the case of Vucevic, in this day and age with, you know, boring CBA minutiae, aprons, first apron, second apron, it is harder to make trades. That's just the simple fact. Now, yes, Brooklyn has got out in front of this and traded Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, those contracts were smaller, and in Schroeder's case, was an expiring. So, again, that's the critical difference to me. He wants to make change. He wants to make trades. Will they find a partner? I don't know the answer to that.
Let's just remind people, maybe hit a reset here, because whiteboard it for us, Casey, because what's the purpose that they for trading at this point? Is it because they want to finish the season as poorly as possible so they can protect that number 10 pick? Or can they accomplish perhaps doing both because they can be among the 10 worst teams and be in that sort of murky middle? Restate the purpose for why they would want to unload at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, they have said publicly the opposite at Media Day, that the draft pick is not guiding them. I would posit to say that's not fully accurate. I mean, look, if you're in a rebuild situation or a retool situation or whatever you want to classify this, you've started to change the makeup of this team with the trade of DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso. So this is, by all accounts, a strong draft. If you are retooling and adding young players and trying to develop young players, you need to keep that draft pick. So they're not going to make a bad trade just to get bad, but the whole purpose is to try to, you know, if you make a trade that helps you, your chances to keep that top 10 pick, that's the goal. And, you know, I mean, Vooch and LaVine are playing at all-star level, but where is this franchise going with them playing at all-star level, right? So that's the question that management is asking itself. That's the calculus they're using with which to approach this trade deadline. And, you know, that's why the entire league is, you know, the Bulls are one of the main teams that the league is focused on. Detroit's another one because they've got cap space. Toronto's another one because they can be a conduit for trades. Brooklyn was before they made the two deals, but The Bulls are in the focal point, as is Miami, obviously with the Jimmy Butler situation.
I'm curious about the Jimmy Butler situation. What I mean, there's a certain level of insanity to it, isn't there? I mean, Jimmy's had an amazing career, but it seems like everywhere he's been, he leaves under bad circumstance, right? It's been repeatedly like Jimmy heading out of town, and I don't know how many more of these he's got left, but he clearly wants out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, a movable, stubborn force in Pat Riley versus a movable, stubborn force in Jimmy Butler. That's right. Basically what's playing out. Look, Miami got two NBA Finals runs and appearances out of Jimmy Butler. He's played at an incredibly high level, but it's broken. And yes, he has a shelf life. We saw that play out here to some extent, although he did not want to leave here. That's the critical difference between Chicago and Miami. But this followed Jimmy around, and you know, he's probably going to get his way because this has become an untenable situation. Now, will he get his way to get a trade to Phoenix? That's where things get dicey and tricky, because obviously Bradley Beal holds all the power in that equation. But I can't see Miami doing this song and dance suspension for the rest of the season. So I expect Jimmy Butler to be moved by next Thursday.
Patrick Williams responded to getting benched with one of his best games of the season the other night without Zach and Kobe White tonight. Will he continue to come off the bench? And do you think that is his best role moving forward?
The latter is an emphatic yes, and I think that Billy would have been preferred to. And he still may come off the bench tonight. I'm about to head over to shoot around here in Boston shortly. What I would say is, with Zach away from the team for personal reasons and Kobe's status still uncertain, he may have to be inserted in the starting line, particularly with who Boston starts at the other end. They've got some pretty good wings in Tatum and Brown. So maybe it's a one-game thing where he goes back into the starting lineup, but I think Billy and this coaching staff hit on something, and quite frankly, I think Patrick hit on something, because every time he goes to the bench, what he talks to us about is how he feels like freer there and sees more opportunity there. And so he looked like a completely different player to me. And what I loved about it even more, and I reported this in my pre-tip hit on our network, I was told, you know, because we find out the starting lineups after after we talked to Billy pregame, and I was told when we found out that he got moved to the bench that Billy was not above using him to close, and that's exactly what he did. So right. I love that. You know, he didn't start, he played aggressively, and then he closed, and he was one of the key critical pieces of that victory. So good for Patrick, and yeah, maybe they've hit on something here. And but tonight I would expect him probably in the starting lineup tonight against Boston.
What?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your take on the idea that Bradley Beal rejected any kind of trade to the Bulls? Is that him not wanting to play in the cold, as he said? Is that him wanting to win without having to do anything? I mean, that's got to be the worst contract in the league right now, because they're desperate to get rid of him, but he holds all the cards.
Yeah, well, multiple things. I mean, the first thing to emphasize is there's no guarantee the Bulls would make that trade, even if Bradley Beal did waive his no-trade clause mm-hmm. to come to the Bulls. I think people are assuming that that's a done deal if Bradley Beal waives his no-trade clause. I think it's still an internal decision to make, and would certainly have to be sweetened with extensive draft capital. So that's a pretty complicated deal, because I think multiple teams would get involved. But let's posit, you know, that Bradley Beal does say, yeah, I'll waive my no-trade clause, and there's enough draft capital in there to give the Bulls, you know, consideration there. What I would say is, you know, I mean, Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause for a reason. He has that power. He does have, obviously, a relation with Billy Donovan. And things that are said now, you know, can change in a week. I mean, the Miami Heat put out a statement saying, we are not trading Jimmy Butler. You know, 10 days later, they put out a statement, we are trading Jimmy Butler. I mean, this is just, that's how the league works. It's fluid. So I don't put much stock into what he's saying now. If he releases a statement, you know, at noon on next Thursday saying, I'm not waiving my no trade clause, then it's different, you know. But there's a lot of time between now and next Thursday.
Just so we understand it correctly, besides Matas Buzelis, everybody else on the Bulls roster is a possibility to be traded? Will teams ask about everybody but Matas?
I mean, I wouldn't even put Modest untouchable. I mean, we're putting Modest Buzelis untouchable?
No,
I mean,
I'm just wondering.
The only untouchable I've ever covered is Michael Jordan.
Okay, I mean, Jerry.
Like,
all right.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, like, if the right deal comes along and Modest has to be a piece in it, I mean, you're crazy not to consider that. So, no, there are no untouchables on this roster. What I would say is, yes, it's not just Vooch and Zach and Lonzo extensive. This is more boring CBA minutia, but the Bulls are in a little bit of a pickle with Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu because they were heralded for signing them to bargain deals, and as they should be. But a new stipulation in the CBA limits you to extending them at 140% of that number. They both outplayed those contracts well for beyond 140%. Do you proactively get out in front of that and trade one of those guys before they hit restricted free agency next summer? I mean, these, again, are the questions you have to think in long-term situations at the front office. So, yes, everybody's in play for the Bulls, and they are considering everything.
Real quickly.
That sounds like management speak. We are considering everything.
No, I understand what you're saying. Real quickly, though, what would be the market for Josh Giddey?
Oh, God.
Nothing, especially
okay.
because
he's a restricted curious
free
because,
no, there, yeah. there's not a chance. I'm guessing you could get more for Alex Caruso if you could get him back. Oh, boy. There you go. That's editorial commenting. Casey, thank you, buddy. Great stuff.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks, man.
Keep up the good work.
Enjoy Boston.